connection stays, we'll be fine. I'm gonna have to get James to stand here and hold it or something. Looks like it's gonna fall out. Okay, we're gonna continue a study that I began back in August, I guess it was, a study of types in Genesis. And it was based on a book that I read. The book was by Andrew Jukes. And I think if you look back in the library back there, you'll probably find several of his works back there. But a fellow who wrote, I guess at the turn of the 19th, or right before the turn of the whatever 20th century, so it's been well over 100 years that he wrote. But I find his materials to be very helpful. They're sometimes a little difficult to read. As far as going back in the in the type of language that was used over 100 years ago. But anyhow, I think it's been, to me, it was a profitable study. And so what I want to do tonight is, and the last time I spoke, we spoke on pretty much Christmas things. So it's been a while since I've spoken on this subject, so I want to do a quick recap. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it and then get to some fresh material. But as a reminder, Jukes' book looks at seven characters in Genesis. Two of them are actually a pair. And we look at the types and what they represent. And just to remind you, the definition we've been using for a type is up on the screen there. So it's something we see in the Old Testament that's more fully revealed in the New Testament. Now, there's also, I've concluded also as we go through this study, particularly when we get to Abraham, which we're about halfway through Abraham, another thing we'll see in here is kind of the spiritual progression of a believer, the attributes, if you will, of a believer. And we've been looking at Abraham, and of course, you know, the main attribute we see there is his faith. Later we'll look at Isaac and Jacob. Jacob will look at the service, and finally at Joseph. So as we go through these last four, hopefully it'll give us some some insights on different spiritual progressions that you would see in a believer. So, to review real quickly where we've been so far. Of course, we started with Adam, and Adam was the first man, of course, and the sin nature of all mankind entered through Adam, and then. Then we move to the first offspring of Adam, would of course be Cain and Abel, and we spoke there of the natural mind and the spiritual mind. Cain, of course, was of the natural mind. We looked at the offering that he brought before the Lord, and it was of his own hands. It was of his own doing. And it was rejected by the Lord. Abel brought a better offering, a blood offering, and a sacrifice that could stand between Abel's sins and the holiness of a sin-hating God. And Abel's offering was accepted by God. Now, further, when we think about the natural mind and the spiritual mind, by nature or by grace, the carnal and spiritual mind, they both grow out of the old man, Adam, in each of us. And the carnal, as the order there is, the carnal or the natural mind comes first, and then the spiritual. And the order never changes with individuals. But the timing of when the spiritual mind manifest in a person can vary greatly. Now, sadly, for some, the spiritual mind never develops in a person and never reflected in their lives, and they are lost for all eternity. And in other cases, we see a spiritual mind developing in a young person. What a blessing that is to see somebody at a young age come along and develop in the Lord. Others, it doesn't occur until old age, and then there's a spectrum in between. So we talk about the about the spiritual mind and how that is manifested in a person and how it develops. The next one we looked at was Noah, and Noah was a representation of the regenerated man or the reborn man. And as we look through the story of Noah, and we looked at the parallels of Noah's story, the ark, and everything that happened to Noah, and how it represented salvation story. So we saw in Noah, first of all, in as salvation comes to people, the first thing we see is awareness of sin, and we can speak of that as often of being under conviction. We see sin not only around us, but we see sin in ourselves. And then the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in showing us our sin and then our need for the Savior and pointing us to the Savior. And when that happens, when a person is has gone to the Lord, a new birth occurs. But also, as we saw in Noah, at the end of the story of Noah, he was went back to he went into let's see what do we say he went into being a farmer. He was a boat builder before the flood, then he became a farmer, and got himself into a trouble with the fruit of the vine. So he was, even after he was saved, so to speak, or even after we're saved, we are still subject to sin. So this is something we need to be certainly conscious about. We still have the sin nature of Adam in each of us, and even in the saved, it comes out. And so it's something we need to, of course, be aware of. Now, we moved then the last time we started to consider Abraham, and Abraham is the spirit of faith. And we read some passages, and I'm not going to reread those tonight. We will get to some new passages to read. But in chapter 12, we saw the call. God called Abraham to be separated from his peoples and to go on. Abraham hesitated at first. He waited until his father died before he moved on and the separation. And then a really bad decision comes upon Abraham. There's a famine that takes place in the land that he's living in, and he goes down to Egypt for bread. And he takes Lot and his wife and everybody with him, and they go down into Egypt. And then a really bad thing happens is when they get down into Egypt, Abraham denies Sarah. Now, this is something in looking at this in more detail. Sarah is a type of grace. So when you look at it from that perspective, when Abraham goes down to Egypt, he denies grace. So what happens when you deny grace? You become just like the world, which is what happened to Abraham when he got down there. He denied the grace of God, and then became one in the world. And when you look at the situation in the world today, the world denies grace, but tries to claim the benefits of grace, And what I mean by that, the prime example of the world denying grace is the world thinks that somehow salvation can be earned through something other than the grace of God. And the most common thing we hear people talk about is their works. They think their works can earn them salvation. But as we know from the Word of God, God's grace is the only means for our salvation. And, you know, this is something we really need to be aware of when we talk to people. You know, there's so many people out there. First of all, you know, I mentioned that, you know, through works they think they can be saved. And, you know, even the example of there must be another, you know, you go your way, I'll go my way, you know, towards salvation. And, you know, we get really, really confused views from people on what constitutes salvation, how they can earn their salvation, so to speak. So it's something we need to be aware of. And again, the overall topic is grace is denied by the world. They're looking for some other way to gain salvation and not through the grace of God. Now, so how would we characterize Abraham's test? His faith was tested when he went down into Egypt, and I'd say he probably, for the most part, failed the test. Faith was not strong when he was in Egypt. Now, when he left Egypt to come back, there was a separation from Lot. That was a good thing. And through that, Abraham's faith increased. And you may recall when they separated there that the herdsmen were there was a strife between Abraham's and Lot's herdsmen, and Abraham gave Lot the first choice of where they wanted to go, and Lot chose the plains. Let's see, what was it? The plains of Jordan, and dwelt in the cities of the plain. Lot was completely committed to the world. He looked to be relocated in the world. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, the land that God had given him. Now, and again, this was a time when you would say that Abraham's faith increased. And one thing you see in the life of Abraham is kind of this pattern, you know, where his faith goes up sometimes, it goes down, up some, and not unlike our own faith by the experiences in our own lives. Now, we get into chapter 14, and you may recall Lot down in the cities finds himself in trouble. There's been a warring between kings, and Lot and his family are captured, so to speak, or taken away. And word comes back to Abraham, and Abraham goes down to rescue Lot from this from this predicament that he finds himself in down there. And at the very end of that chapter, and again we're in chapter 14, and we want to look at a couple of verses, so turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 14. And this is kind of as far as we got the last time, so we're on new ground here, so the review is behind us. So in chapter 14, look at verses 21 through 23, and this is after Lot is rescued, and there's an offer being made to Abraham by the king of Sodom, who was one of the ones who was rescued through Abraham's efforts. Verse 21, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. So I think here this demonstrated Abram's faith there, that he was not going to take anything from the world, but that he was trusting in God. Now, we'll move into chapter 15. And in chapter 15, we'll read a few verses here. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, and we'll see how God promises a nation to Abram. And it's interesting the way this, again, the last event that happened was this offer that was made by the king of Sodom. Abram turns it down, and it's really gracious how the Lord deals with Abram here in verse 1 of chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So anything that he had turned down from man, God assured him that he was going to reward him. So again, it's just a very gracious introduction there by God. Verse 2, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So this is a nation. God has promised a nation to Abraham. Verse 6 is one of the key verses in the Old Testament. And he, that being Abram, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So by his faith, Abram is saved. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's the same way people are saved today. They believe God. They believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son. And through believing in God, believing in His Son as the Son of God, that's how we are accounted righteous before God. So things have not changed. We still go through the same process in our salvation. Now we move into, and we're just kind of hitting over some of these. And again, the purpose tonight is to look at the faith issue. Again, we saw what Abram's faith was accounted for righteousness. We get into chapter 16. 16 is a very, very sad chapter, probably the saddest in these verses, or in the story of Abram, where Sarah comes up with this scheme. She's impatient. She doesn't see this heir being come on. She's getting old. She knows it. So she comes up with a scheme. And we'll just read the first four verses to outline the scheme. Chapter 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. He heeded her voice, forgot what God had told him. Then Sarai, Adam's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So a lot of the rest of this chapter is the contention between Sarai and Hagar. And let's see, we'll finish chapter 16 by looking at verses 15 and 16. 16, chapter 16, 15 and 16. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So at age 86, this son is born. Now, if we do the test again in chapter 16, how does his faith look in chapter 16? And I think you would have to agree his faith didn't look so good there. He trusted his wife more than he trusted the Lord, and it caused him many problems. Now, we're going to get into chapter 17, and from the first verse in chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, so 13 years have passed, and there's really not much comment in the scriptures on what took place on that in those 13 years, but we will look at God's covenant with Abraham. We'll read verses 1 through 10, and then we will see the sign of the covenant too. So chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And now we come to the sign of this covenant that God has just given to Abraham now. Verse 9, and God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants, after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. So there was a covenant, and there was a sign of that covenant was accepted. And we drop down to verse 16, and it talks about the heir is specified by God, the heir that's been promised to Abraham. Verse 16, and I will bless her, speaking of Sarai, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of peoples shall be from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And verse 18, and Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Verse 19 specifies who the heir is. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. So you see the promise that God has made to Abraham about the heir. When Abraham is 99 years old, Sarah is 90. And when you think and wonder, you know, well, why did God wait so long? And again, it goes back to grace. Both Abraham and Sarah were well past the age of childbearing, and the only way that an heir at that point was going to be born was through God's grace to give them this child. So you remember, you go back and look at Ishmael. It was through man's efforts that heir, or the one that they thought would be the heir, was born. But this heir Isaac that is coming is through grace. Abraham and Sarah were long past the age of childbearing. So in chapter 17 there, we'll see that Abram's faith is confirmed by his obedience to the sign of circumcision that the Lord has told him about. So drop down to verse 22. And then he, that would be Abram, finished talking with him. God finished talking with him, and God went up from Abram. So Abram took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a stranger, were circumcised with him. So we saw that by obedience in chapter 17 there at the end, that Abraham's faith is confirmed. Okay, well, I'd hope to get through Abraham tonight, but I think, given the time, we'll try to pick up the remaining part of Abraham the next time I speak, and then we'll move on to Isaac. Will be the next one we look at. But again, we see the fluctuation in Abraham's faith. Sometimes he fully trusts God, sometimes not so well. But you know, think of it in our own lives. You know, we are not unlike Abraham. I think we have times when our faith is tested. Sometimes we do okay, sometimes we do not so good. So I think the message to us is, you know, strive to be obedient to God. Through obedience, our faith is increased, as we saw there at the end of chapter 17. But we will see a couple more instances where Abram's faith falters. But let's close in prayer, and then maybe a hymn. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks for your word. We see these things that have been written before us, Father. We see how these things in the Old Testament, Father, are more fully revealed to us in the New. Father, we do thank you for this example we've been discussing and looking at tonight of the faith of Abraham. Father, again, we would just pray that we would see these examples, Father, might question things in our own lives, Father, that our faith might be increased. Lord, we just give you thanks for your grace and your mercy, Father, that even while our faith is small, Father, you are yet a loving and a gracious God, desiring our obedience and love. Father, we just again give you thanks for for your patience with each of us. Lord, we just would pray now that you would again Bless those that are currently under difficulty. We think of the Schultz family, little Andrew. Father, we would just once again lift him up to you tonight. Now, Father, we just give you thanks. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.